Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight number 583 for comics originally released on October 10th, 2018. Now, we're recording this episode in advance and breaking from our usual format of DC, Marvel, and Other and discussing three comics not published by DC or Marvel. Now, starting us off is Last Space Race number 1 from Aftershock. This is one that I was curious about because the whole space race thing. I mean, the Last Space Race, it seemed like it'd be an Elon Musk sort of can we go into space or not sort of a thing. A cool, modern sci-fi kind of a premise.
Yeah. What's interesting about this, even though we're doing a review of this, you know, we're doing basically a preview copy that came out, press copy. I pre-ordered this based on the preview solicit. And I think Aftershock had 3 or 4 new number ones coming out, which was a lot for a single month. And this was the one I picked. I was like, okay, I'm more of a sci-fi kind of guy. And I picked this and reading it. Yeah, it hooked me enough to where I'm definitely happy with my choice.
Yeah, this is another one that I had pre-ordered as well, and I think we probably would have reviewed if we had just done this in the regular course of things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was a little kind of put off by a little bit of, like, the profanity at the beginning and stuff like that. It's like, yeah. Hey, you don't need that. You've got something that could be definitely, it seems like, all ages, and maybe get kids more excited about science and such.
Yeah, this is definitely not all ages.
But it was a fun read. I also could have done without the kind of start at the end of the story and then flash way back to tell us the story.
Yeah, you see that quite a bit in different things, TV shows, movies, and I think it's kind of played out, that thing. So when it happens now, I'm just kind of like, okay, I've seen that before. So yeah, you see a man. Should we tell them what we're looking at? Or,
well, yeah, because it'll be years before it matters. We got a guy in a spacesuit. He's running out of air and stuff, and he's out by, I guess, Saturn and such, about to die.
He's literally just, I guess, kind of floating in space. He's just sitting there and floating around the planet, waiting to die, running out of air. And yet, how in the heck did this guy end up here?
Question. He's saying that the O2 readout on the suit failed months ago.
Yeah.
Why the hell did he go out in this suit then?
Because he invented it.
There aren't many things I need out of a spacesuit, but knowing when I'm going to run out of air, that's pretty high on the list.
Yeah, that would be probably number one. Making sure that it doesn't puncture very easily and making sure that the oxygen levels are sufficient.
I lump that all in the will it keep me alive category.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of like a cool opening. I was like, what's that? And then several years earlier, we go back to seeing this character and him and his business and a discovery in space.
Yeah, it's funny because this starts out with somebody getting that space thing detected kind of a deal, and then essentially reaches out to, you know, eventually getting to the rich guy who can help solve things. And while it is completely different, it does kind of remind me a little of the Salvation TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a similar premise.
Almost exactly the same type of premise. And one thing, I like the callback, or not the callbacks, they kind of make this very relevant because they're talking about how NASA kind of isn't relevant anymore and how everything's been going over to the private industry and the private space industry. And that's exactly what we've seen happen. So it makes it feel very real what's going on here.
It does, but there were a few places where it felt a little too real given what was going on.
Yeah.
When we get to the pigeon space lines and we see that nice shot of Earth and they're up there and they're flying and stuff like that, well, this is cool. And then when they basically pull back and what we're seeing, we've got an unreliable narrator here. This isn't what's happening.
Yep.
That I felt was a little bit of a bait and switch that I don't really respect. From a storytelling point of view, if we'd simply stayed inside the ship and not gotten the establishing shot that was misleading,
yeah,
that'd have been better.
I couldn't agree with you on that. That would have been better. And that being said, what do you think of the ideas in here? Like, you know, the free market and, you know, what's going on with it and the tease from the next issue?
I've got mixed feelings on some of this because I think there's an aspect of, you know, to move us forward in certain ways, we need rich, independent people to say, hey, this is worth doing. Let's go do it. You know, I think where this kind of ended, though, with, you know, we're going to go do this and the government's going to pay for it all.
Yep.
Why'd you go to the rich guy then?
Exactly. It's almost like they were playing on almost like an Elon Musk type thing. And then, yeah, then it went to complete corporate greed. Now we're going to bilk the government of every dime we can get. I was just like, that's kind of weird how it just kind of switched like that.
Yeah. If they were to turn this into a TV show or a movie, casting this lead guy, the rich guy, that's what makes or breaks the show.
Yeah. Based on his personality, his characterization, and how he portrays himself, it could be hilarious, engaging, or it could be a total turnoff.
I'm trying to think who I would cast in that role, and I don't really have an idea at the moment.
Me neither. I was looking at him thinking he looked like the guy from Firefly. I don't know why.
Nathan Fillion?
Yeah, he just looks like him. Not exactly, but...
Close enough. Actually, I could see that working.
Yeah, I'm like, he kind of looks like that to me.
It would be an interesting role for him.
Yeah. Now that I think about it more, that could be good. But did this do enough to hook you to say, we both pre-ordered, of course, we're getting it, to be on board? If you were a new reader coming in and you're reading this issue, are you hooked on this?
It's enough in my wheelhouse that, yeah, but it's more because it's in my wheelhouse than it was such a great execution.
Yeah. For me, they have two sci-fi books that I'm reading right now from Aftershock, Relay and this one.
Mm-hmm.
Relay hooked me a little bit more, but this one hooked me enough because I like the sci-fi stuff, and it's such a different take, and it's completely different. They're both sci-fi, but completely different stories that I think this could be hilarious. I think it could be, it could have the comedy there, and it also has sci-fi, so I'm completely sold on it, depending on how they go in the next two or three issues.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it for me, and I would compare this actually to Letter 44 from Oni.
Yeah, and I really like Letter 44.
If you like that, this may be up your alley, but frankly, the solicitation covered a lot more ground than this issue did.
Oh yeah, the solicitation gave a lot more detail, I remember, because this comic, there's some broad things that are thrown out there, but it didn't progress the story a huge amount. So I would have liked to have seen an oversized issue, but it was enough to keep me interested.
Oversized would have helped, but, I mean, referring to characters in the solicit that haven't even been introduced yet. Not a good
idea.
Yeah,
that's never a good thing.
But it shows they've got a bigger story to tell, so I'm definitely curious. I like the idea of the art was good. The story, I've got a couple of things I could knock it on. I think with a bit better editing and stuff, they could have gotten a revision of the script that would have been even better. But I thought it was solid. I thought it was enjoyable. I'm looking forward to it. I certainly don't regret having pre-ordered it or continuing to pre-order it. I'm just kind of waiting for the series to kind of catch up to where the solicit for the first issue got to and seeing how it shapes up.
Yeah, I agree. This one is not as far in the future sci-fi as Relay. It's more modern, more current, and a completely different feel. It almost feels like it's happening right now.
Yeah.
And that's something I like, even though it's science fiction, which is kind of cool. It's just so different, the type of sci-fi versus the Relay type thing. But I think it's going to be really good, and I'm completely sold on it. So this first arc will be telling, but so far I'm on board, and this did not change my mind.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at. I'm going to go with a B on this. I think it's got a lot of good stuff. If you like Letter 44, if you like the Salvation TV show or things of that sort, you might want to check this out.
Yep. I liked it probably just a hair more than you. Call it my Aftershock bump because I love Aftershock. I went with a B+, cool premise, and I'm on board at least for the first arc, and I think I'll probably be on board long after that.
Cool. Shall we move on to our next item?
Sounds like a plan.
Our next item is Murder Falcon #1 from Image Comics, And this was one of those that we were getting to the point of, you know, we need this third item for this episode we're reviewing a good couple of weeks out. And this is what we found.
Yeah, it was not something we really necessarily went out looking for or wanting, but it was available.
This is not something, honestly, I'd even heard of before.
Now, I saw the solicit, and I did not pre-order it based on the solicit.
I thought you had. Okay, interesting.
No, I did not. I read Daniel Warren Johnson. He came out with another series. It's slipping me right now what that series was. But I did not pre-order this because it sounded kind of cheesy to me.
I can understand that. As I started to read this again, I knew nothing about this before we decided to do it. I don't even think I'd read the solicit. And then we get to this thing where we got this guy, Jake. He's playing a guitar, and somehow this, like, summons this Rambo bird guy. This big metal arm or something.
I know. It's like a, what is it, Cable Chicken Man or something.
Cable Chicken Man. We'll go with that. And I'm getting a good couple of pages into it, and I mean, it's got some dramatic moments where he's pulling out the guitar and stuff like that. I brought metal. And I'm not really, you know, a music kind of guy. I like music well enough.
How about metal will destroy all evil?
Yeah. And I'm not going to say that shouting Shazam and turning into a much older superhero makes a lot more sense, but it kind of does. So I was just trying to figure out what is going on here.
Yeah, this was like a... I felt like an almost like a Sharknado type thing. I don't know if you've seen that or heard of Sharknado.
I've heard of it.
A tornado of sharks. I haven't watched it because it's so ridiculous. I'm like, okay, it's too corny for me. That's what this comic is. It seemed too corny. You're either, if you're into that Sharknado type thing, I think you would like this. But this is not something I'm into because I'm like, all right, this is kind of cheesy.
Well, it's funny because I was not sure where the hell it was going to begin with. We get to that 2 weeks ago, and then we get a flashback to a year ago. Okay, something's going on with Jake. He's not in a good place.
Yep.
And then, you know, he gets dropped off. We get to meet Nate. For whatever reason, just with the first page we get to meet Nate, I was starting to like this guy.
Yep.
Don't know why, but it's like, okay, he seems cool. And we then get to the point where, okay, they had dinner. We get a little more backstory. It seems to be coming out in a natural kind of way. It felt... I don't want to say cinematic or television-esque, but you know what I mean. It's like how you would see it on a thing, live-action stuff. But then, man, he gets back to his apartment. This is a page that's got, like, one-word balloon. It's literally him going from the street up to his place. But it actually...
Just, huh?
It had enough things to give a sense of what his life's like. He's not in a good space. What happened to his guitar? All this. And then, bam! Chicken Bird Man. Actually, no, we get the creature thing, and then we get
like
Chicken
a spider
Bird Man.
Thing. Yep.
Yeah. And things start happening, and we get Murder Falcon introduced. And before too long, we get a couple of flashbacks or whatever, but then, man, when Murder Falcon goes into exposition mode, he can, pardon the phrasing, but he can rock the exposition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can.
We get some serious stuff going on there about Magnum Chaos. Pretty damn ugly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny because in most stories, the quote-unquote getting the band back together, it's a metaphor. Here,
oh, yeah.
Here, they need to do it literally.
Literally, they have to do that stuff. Yes, exactly.
And Jake's like, what, we're going to defeat this with music? And the guy's like, yeah.
Basically, metal fuels this character, and he's able to fight evil when you play metal.
Doesn't make sense. I mean, the concept is flat-out absurd, but the creative team makes it work.
Yeah, they do. And it was actually, it's ridiculous, but I can't say it's not entertaining.
I was entertained by it. I thought it was a lot of fun, and it's not a title you're going to confuse with anything else on the rack. That's guaranteed.
I would agree with that. This is so unique. There's nothing like this out there that I can think of, and it's just something... you can't get anywhere else. So I don't know how to even describe it. Metal meets a chicken with a cable arm. And that makes no sense, but this comic makes no sense. Yeah. At the same time, there is some characterization in there. You see, Jake with his life, like the little cuts, there's like eight panels and see him with like a wedding almost going on and then some stuff going on. And you could tell this comic's going to be deeper in the future.
There's definitely a backstory to be had here and stuff going on. And those like all blue panels that are the flashbacks and such. I want to get more of Jake's background and what's going on in these vague glimpses.
Yeah.
But I came out of this having, surprisingly enough, enjoyed this. I honestly expected to go in and say, well, we'll review this. I doubt it's going to work for me. I'll say as much. We'll move on. But it did work for me. And honestly, I got no idea why. But there's some heart to it. Jake is, I don't say, he's down on his luck. I guess really is the best way to say it. He's coming out of a funk. He's got friends that are trying to help him. He's just not quite ready yet. And then stuff happens. And he's got to kind of get out of the funk.
Yeah. And I think if you're into music or metal music, this will be an even better comic to you than if you're not.
But I don't think you have to be to enjoy it, because I'm not.
Correct. You don't have to be.
it's somewhere a weird mix between, I'm going to say, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, a Chicken Rambo kind of a thing, and I mean that chicken like as a bird, not as in scared. And I think the cable thing's a good example.
Yeah, with the arm.
it's a mishmash of crazy concepts that they actually have a sensibility to.
Yeah, and this is a Skybound book, and usually most of the Skybound books end up being pretty decent. The writing, the art, everything coming out of them. And this came together pretty well, considering it's not something I pre-ordered because I was like, this just sounds completely corny and cheesy. But I liked it. And I went online and I searched Daniel Warren Johnson. I'm like, why do I know him? Why do I know him? I read his Image series, Extremity. Did you ever read that?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, it's about an artist and some powers that came about, but that was another Image series that went for about 12 issues. Good read. And he did the art on that too. So Daniel Warren Johnson is an artist as well as a writer.
Is he doing the art on this? I think he is.
Is he? I don't know. I was trying to go to the credits page, or let's see if I can find it.
I think it's at the end.
Oh, at the end, okay.
Writer and artist, Daniel Warren Johnson, colorist Mike Spicer.
There you go. He did the art in this too. So if you like his art, you like his writing, if you liked Extremity, this did remind me of Extremity, because I was reading it, it's not the same. It's completely different, but it has a feeling of his writing. And that was a decent series.
This is one of those cases where Skybound put the advanced copy out there for retailers and such. So they have an idea what they're ordering, which I think is cool. And in this case, not only did they have the first issue, they had a second issue preview out there too. Since I had that available to me, I went ahead and read the second issue. I enjoyed this enough that I'm thinking, do I want to get it or not? And it could have gone either way. I read that second issue. I enjoyed it. And I think this is a completely bizarre series, but it's a fun one worth reading.
Wow. I should have read the second issue. I almost downloaded it and I was like, we're just doing the first issue and I didn't pre-order it, so I didn't download it. I should have done it. Now you got me curious. I'm going to go back and read it.
I liked this enough that I've gone ahead and emailed my retailer saying, add these two issues to my order.
Wow, impressive. You like the Warrior Chicken.
I did not see that coming.
Murder Falcon, you are a fan.
it was fun. I mean, they get the band back together. There's in addition to the action-adventure quotient to it, there's the quiet moments. I mean, just there at the end of the first issue when they're having a drink or whatever, sitting on his van as they're looking at that big monster thing out in the lake or whatever.
They're just chilling, checking out. Like, has that thing been moving?
This is a bizarre riff on like the Shazam Billy Batson thing where the two get to hang out.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. And it's very weird. I don't know why. It's utterly ridiculous, but I did enjoy it, which is the weirdest thing.
I would not have. This is the kind of thing, you know, on paper, would I've gotten? No, would not have bothered with this at all. And so far, really enjoying it. Now, a year from now, will I still be on board? Don't know. But if they keep up as they have for these first two issues, I think so.
Yeah. And Daniel Warren Johnson's a good writer. He's a good artist and he's able to write different things because his other book, although it read completely different, everything was different. He did character building in there. He had emotional stakes and I can see him even building it into this, even though it's silly, you know?
Yeah.
You can see the moments being built.
Exactly. This is not something that's just filler stuff happening to these characters. It's major events to them.
Yeah. So what do you think you're going to do with this one?
I'm going to go with a solid A on this. There were one or two things here and there. I think they may have been able to tighten up just a hair, but I really enjoyed this. I thought it was fun. The only place I would say they may have dropped the ball was I don't know that this went through the regular solicitations in previews, because I thought this had a 9,000 number for the item code.
Or maybe it didn't, and maybe I'm thinking of another rock and roll comic that I saw from Image coming out, so I don't remember. My mind's mush.
Maybe we will be able to confuse this with something else in the rock. I don't know. I doubt it's got a chicken, much less a murder falcon.
Exactly.
but it was fun.
I did enjoy it. I like it. I want to read that second issue and see a little bit more where it's going. I haven't told Eric to pull it for me yet, but I may consider doing that after I read that second issue. I went with a solid B on this.
I can understand that. Read the second issue. It was funny because it was a bit of more of the same, but also moving the story forward. It didn't feel like it was just treading the same ground. And I'm really curious where this goes. I think we're going to get kind of, I don't want to say an origin story for the first arc or whatever, and then it moves from there. It's hard to tell, but it was fun.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You got a new comic. You have to read it, though. You can't just store it in your box.
Yeah, that's the problem. But technically, I'm an issue or two ahead.
Oh, that's true. You're a couple months ahead right now.
So there's that. Shall we move on to our next item?
Sounds good.
Next item here is Black Hand Ironhead number 5 from PanelSyndicate.com. Now, PanelSyndicate.com is, as we've mentioned on when we did Glacier City, it's an online place. They do digital comics, but they do digital for print, meaning it's basically the same rough size as a regular comic. It's just told horizontally, not vertically, if you will.
Yeah, made for PC screen.
Exactly. And this is the fifth and final issue of this series. Believe Drew and I reviewed the first issue of this a year or two back.
Wow.
It had been long enough that I reread 1-4 to prep for this discussion.
Well, I read them all, so I read them all Sunday.
Cool. I enjoyed those issues, I'll be honest. Unsurprisingly, I think people are used to this now. I could have done without the profanity.
There was a lot of profanity in here, especially from the one character. I get them confused. That's the only thing I hate. Is she Blackhand? Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, Blackhand. I get them confused.
I get them confused as well. It fit her character to be cursing so much, but it's like, yeah, I don't really need that.
Even some of the superheroes are cursing in here.
It's funny, because this is clearly set in a superhero world, but it's a story about family that has to deal with superheroes. It's not about superheroes per se.
Exactly. The superheroes are almost anecdotal. They're just kind of there.
Yeah, and this ended the series well, and in a way that if David Lopez, the creator, wanted to do more, he could, but I don't feel he's obligated to, and I go hot and cold if I think he should or shouldn't on that.
Yeah, he left himself a nice opening. The way he ended it, like you said, he could come out with Volume 2, or you could read this and just enjoy it, and for free, all of us can enjoy it. That's crazy. This is the Best Deal Going Panel Syndicate Free Comics.
Now, again, they do want people to pay for it if they think it's worth it, but the fact they're saying you can get it for free, I think, is why we get such good stuff. They're not phoning it in. They realize they can't. And if you think it's worth $20, you can pay them $20. You think it's worth 2 cents, you can give them 2 cents.
Exactly. And sometimes I read these things, I like them so much, I'll go back and I'll pay a couple bucks for some of the issues I read, just because I enjoyed it so much.
I respect the hell out of these creators that are doing it that way with zero guarantee of any income on this. And man, they're putting out terrific stuff, and this was no exception. It was great art. It was a great story. If I had to sum the story up, I'd say it's basically the day in the life of the daughter of the director of this foundation, which kind of controls the people with powers and such. When her father dies, her previously unknown half-sister shows up at his funeral, and things go crazy from there.
Pretty much. That's the plot.
It's more than technically a day, but you get the idea.
Exactly.
And all kinds of insane stuff happens, and in a way that it was thought out, because it all leads to stuff.
Exactly. You think it's going one way, it zigs and it zags, and characters you think were something happened to them may not have happened to them the way you thought it did. There's a lot of characterization, a lot of building up of these characters. Who they are, how they interact, and they stay pretty true to that character throughout the whole series. So I liked it a lot. I liked it's definitely, I would say, veers more towards an adult comic. I mean, you get to the fight scene between, I can't remember the names of them, but the Hindu goddess character and the superhero Titan. Mm-hmm. And you're basically seeing someone just get the crap beat out of them until somebody goes full on zombie mode. And that was just like really brutal. I like that.
Yeah, there was some definite hardcore action here, but it's funny because those two are really the only superhero and villain we see in this universe.
The only ones, and it's not the main central focus of this, that kind of happened to really bring about the other characters and bring them back together later on.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun, it was interesting, and it's got a good sense of family drama, family dynamic, family dysfunction.
Yes.
And we get enough action and superhero stuff that it fits in that genre, but that's not what the story's about.
It's really not. I would say it's not a superhero story. Like you said, it's family dynamics and family hijinks and stuff that plays on that lines. It's not a superhero story. That's just something almost to the side. This happens. Now, one thing I loved about David Lopez in this comic is at the very end, readers would tell him things. I don't know if these came through his Twitter or his emails, but he responded to the people that sent him letters with, basically he'd draw a little comic and have people respond to him. It was hilarious.
Yeah, the comic strip approach to the letter page I thought was terrific.
Yeah, you see him sitting at a keyboard and he's like, seems like this is done. And what do people say? He looks over at, I don't know if that's his mom or I was like looking at this character. And then she starts reading things that people have said, you know, and it has their names that people have commented on here and how he responds to them. So it was really kind of cool. You know, you put kind of an homage to people who actually took time to give him feedback.
Well, what I loved about it is he's a little self-deprecating here, too, because one of them is like, thanks for working on this over the summer, man. And the mother figure is like, don't assume he's been working that much, kind of a thing.
Exactly. You know? that was funny.
I think one or two of these might have been a little late than they were originally promised or whatever, but I mean, that's the nature of this kind of stuff. But the fact he's also putting another page or two of art in the back to put around the letters page or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrific.
I would read more of this. This story gave me enough to where I wanted more. And the one thing that gave me hope for more is at the very end, he said, you know, it's like, thanks for these 140 pages together. I hope I'll see you again soon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, thanks. He wants to come back here one day. I'm sure it depends on how busy he is and how successful this thing is, whether it comes out in print or digitally. I think he wants to come back and revisit this, which is kind of cool.
Either this or another project, either way.
Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you what, like you said, with Panel Syndicate, because they're depending on the goodwill of us readers to kick in a few bucks or 20 bucks or whatever we think it's worth, they seem to all bring their A game because most of what I read on this website is really good stuff.
I would agree with that. I don't think I've read anything that was not terrific. And these things, I mean, this was, I don't know, 32 or more pages of story.
37, according to my little PDF reader.
I was taking one off for the cover and two off for the end, so 34.
Oh, there you go.
Still.
All right, that works.
I mean, it's a lot more pages. It's like a comic and a half or whatever of a typical Marvel or DC book.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of dialogue in here, too, so it's not quick. It took some time to read this, but it was fulfilling. It wasn't, oh, man, I'm plodding through this. It was good, page to page.
It's got a balance of being a page turner with there being a lot of pages to turn.
Exactly. The best of both worlds.
Yeah. So I think they're doing some great stuff here. This was no exception. It's not a story for everybody. Again, it's two sisters who'd never met trying to come to terms with what had happened to their mutual father and what that means for both of their lives. And the dysfunctional relationship they've got and stuff. But it really came together. It was a good read throughout. I'm going to go with an A- on this. I definitely think people should check out panelsyndicate.com. Check this out. Download the first issue of their stuff. If you like it, circle back, pay them some money, and get in the habit of checking their website out.
Yeah. I believe one thing I want to throw out there, I think you can get on their mailing list so that you guys will get updates anytime there's new material out on Panel Syndicate. And I signed up for it because I've been to the website, but I never signed up to be on their mailing list because I want to keep up to date on this stuff because, like I said, everything I've read there is really good. I really enjoyed this story. I think my favorite was probably the one we reviewed last time in the snowy town in Alaska.
Glacier City.
Glacier City. Thank you. My mind sometimes ceases to function. But I went with a solid A- on this as well.
Yeah, they do good stuff, and the fact that they are doing it as a meritocracy of pay what you think it is worth.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that is both gutsy, as I've said before, and I've got a ton of respect for that, and I really hope it's working out for them.
Yeah, and heck, if you're a poor, broke college student, pay nothing for it now, and then when you graduate your degree, go back and pay these guys.
Exactly, exactly. Hopefully they can afford that, both the student and the creators.
Exactly. We can always go back and pay them later on. But it's well worth this is well worth it. And I like a lot of their stuff so much that when they do come out with it in print version, I usually buy the print version. And I would do that for this as well.
Yeah, I think I did that both for Private Eye and for Barrier.
Yeah, me too. And I like it. Other than the odd size of Barrier, that kind of irked me.
That irked me too, but I think that was a matter of the form factor. Because they're going for monitor size, not horizontal page size.
Just our weird idiosyncrasies, but I got over it pretty quick, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So I want to thank all the publishers and stuff for getting us the advanced preview copies these last couple of weeks. Big help. And just, you know, your willingness, James, to read through all these different things and try a bunch of stuff.
Oh no, I'm glad you put in a lot of footwork to get these preview copies. Thank you very much for doing that. Like you said, thank you so much to Image, to Aftershock. Even the previous week, we had Boom and stuff and Archie come through. And Panel Syndicate, you guys are doing great stuff. Keep it up. Please, you guys read that stuff and donate to them because good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of great comics out there. It's just a matter of finding them that can be kind of hard.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing. It's like finding them is a difficult thing.
If they're along those lines, if there's stuff that people are looking for, gosh, I'd really like something that's this sort of a story or that sort of a story, or whatever. Let us know. That may help guide us as to what we do or don't review or something. It may not, but you never know.
Definitely, I think that would be kind of cool. You know, like one day, you know, like I think it'd be cool if you even set up like a type of thing, like a little Patreon group or something, you know, something where we could do to support the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
and open it up to people to like say, hey, can you do reviews of these types of things and maybe find some cool stuff that maybe you and I wouldn't normally pick or we haven't been exposed to and do a review on some cool stuff. Who knows?
That totally makes sense.
Because I there's so much stuff out there that we can't read. Like, I remember listening to you and Drew go on and on about Hard Case Crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's all this Hard Case Crime, you know, stuff I keep hearing about. So I started reading it. Now I buy everything that's Hard Case Crime. I love it. But it took your podcast. Otherwise, I wouldn't have heard of any of that stuff.
Well, and how hard is it to find something that's got that kind of crime-type stuff going on in comics that aren't like superheroes or something like that?
Yeah, and you think about it, most comic shops, 90% of what's on the shelf is probably the superhero genre, and I understand it because it's such a risk to go out there with non-returnability on this obscure material that they don't buy it, that, you know, we have to find stuff by listening to you guys or listen to us now, and then go out and seek it, you know, pre-order it, or find it online and support these guys. It's tough to find different things sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm happy when I do.
Same here. Again, Murder Falcon's one of those that if I hadn't reviewed it for the podcast, there's no way it would have landed on my reading list.
Yeah. Well, funny thing, I don't know if you knew this, but I probably didn't tell you this, but whenever you would go on vacation, which I know you are probably on vacation as this podcast is going out or maybe just getting back, who knows, I used to always be like, oh, this is the horrible episode with all these indie comics that come out. Oh. Instead of the Marvel DC. Now, but then I started listening to them and I was like, and I started picking up weird stuff. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. But it used to be my natural instinct to be like, oh, what is this stuff? You know, this weird stuff that they're reviewing. But I picked up a few things from you guys reviewing the off things just because you were going on vacation. It wasn't Marvel and DC.
Well, cool. I'm glad that worked out for you. I get where you're coming from on that too, because my natural tastes and stuff lie very much in the superhero genre, which means I read a lot of DC, a lot of Marvel and such. And I always feel like, I mean, even though it's literally a third of what I read, I feel like I don't read that much independent stuff.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
it's just, because I have people tell me that a lot too sometimes. That's how it goes. But it's funny. But
oh, yeah.
You were asking where I would be when this episode goes up. This episode actually goes up on October 22nd, 2018, And remember how you're talking about how I'd be flying home from Japan and getting home the day I flew home?
Yeah.
That's this day.
Oh, so you're going to be just trashed on this day.
Well, for most of the day, it literally, I think, will be an insanely long day because it may be one of those where, again, I redo part of the day. It's like time travel because I finally crossed the dateline the other way.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll be flying home from Tokyo after a few days in Fukuoka visiting family and such. But yeah, I expect tomorrow I'm going to be dead asleep.
Yeah, you're going to be like, I don't want to leave the bed, and I hate long trips. I seem like I always get sick on the planes, too. I think it's the recycled air on those long flights.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to this part of the trip, though, because this past week I will have spent in Tokyo with two of my cousins, and then take the bullet train to Fukuoka, where I see my other cousin, meet her new husband, and visit my aunt and uncle. I haven't seen this side of the family in 5 years, I think it was, for most of them. 10 years for one of the two cousins in Tokyo, and probably only four for the cousin who got married. I think we saw her a year after we'd seen everybody else. But yeah, I just don't get to see them enough, with them being, you know, on the other side of the world and such.
So did you have family that was in the military and moved to Japan, or how'd they end up over there?
Yeah, my dad's brother was in the military and served over there, liked it, and when he got out, he moved back there.
Oh, sounds like my nephew. My nephew, Navy, and he loved it in Japan. He's stationed over here back in the U.S. again, but he wants to go back to Japan as soon as he can. He loves it.
I can totally understand that. It's a fascinating culture. They're really nice people and stuff over there. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been. I need to go.
This will be my fifth trip, maybe? I'm trying to remember. There was this one. There was the family trip we did about 5 years ago. There was a business trip or two I did, at least one business trip or two. And I'm trying to think, I guess that might have been even the first business trip. Maybe only the fourth time then. Not often enough.
Yeah. But that's really cool that you get to go and see your family and hang out with them. So, I mean, especially if it's been so long.
Yeah,
so.
They're good people. I love hanging with them.
Yeah. And thanks for all the hard work, because I know you put in a ton of editing time and you had to record with everyone ahead of time. So for keeping the podcast going for everyone out there that enjoys your show. And I appreciate it, so I know they appreciate it.
No, thanks. Because, I mean, if we count today and go 1, 2, 3, 4 days, if we go for the last 5 days, the two of us have recorded, what, 5 weekly comic spotlights.
Yep.
I recorded the Mayo Report comics episode with Sam and Eric, the Wizard World Austin episode with my sister, and had to edit all of those and edit the collector spotlight, collector box light episode. See, I've done so much I can't even speak anymore.
You're a busy beaver.
Yeah, it's a lot, but it gives me a couple of weeks off, so there's that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, total rest and relaxation, nice relaxing cruise, then visit some quality time with the family, and then the horrible flight back home.
Yeah. Now, yeah. As this goes up, we'll shift back to DC, Marvel, and other next week. There's going to be the preview spotlight deadline Saturday morning on November 10th, 2018. Send in clips for the preview spotlight. Again, we've talked about how hard it is to find stuff. This is your chance to promote the stuff you like or think people should be aware of. As many voices as we can get going on that, I think the better.
Yeah, we need different voices. One weird thing about me, not to take you off track, but I recorded on the preview spotlight twice, only twice, and I sent my voice out there, and then I started posting on the forums.
Mm-hmm.
I had listened to the podcast for like 3 years, never did anything. And then within like 6 months of being on the forums and after two of those recordings, I didn't know Drew was going to be checking out and you asked me to be the co-host. But if I never would have done that stuff, who knows who would be here right now? So yeah. It's just that quick.
I've got a lot of listeners out there that are avid listeners and I totally appreciate that. But there's no way for me to know about them if they don't speak up either on the Slack channel, the forum, or send in some clips. And I'm not expecting necessarily everybody to do that. I get people have lives and are busy and stuff. But if you can do that periodically, it's a lot of what keeps the podcast going.
Definitely. I agree.
So we're also going to have the teleconference on Saturday, November 17th at 7 p.m. Central Time. Don't know what we're going to be talking about at that point. Quite possibly my trip. Maybe not. Maybe other stuff. Don't know. But we do it on Skype. All you got to do, there's instructions on the forum as to how to get on and stuff. You just send me your contact information. When it comes time for the call, again, we start at 7. We usually go for a couple hours. You don't have to be there right at the beginning. But if I know you're coming, I'll at least stick around. Otherwise, cool. If we're done talking, we're done talking, and I'll go do other stuff. So, anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That pretty much does it.
Cool.
Join us next time as we discuss Nightwing number 51 from DC, Shuri number 1 from Marvel, and Rivers of London number 1 from Titan Comics.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.